Ladies and gentlemen, we present The TV Lark with our three stars, John Pertwee, Leslie Phillips, and Stephen Murray.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Nobody has bought a single solitary second of advertising time on TTV.
Yeah, but surely there was an advert on Tuesday night, just after the latest episode in Handsome Dr. Killjoy. The casebook of an ordinary, everyday Harley Street specialist.
No, sir, no. No, there wasn't. No, sir. No. You must have been watching another channel, sir.
No, he wasn't perfect. It was a commercial for the little grocers round the back of the studios. This week's bargain, large stocks of genuine Romanian baked beans in brine.
Fourpence a tin.
Yeah, that's right. There was a small boy stuck behind an enormous plateful of the things, and he kept saying, "Mummy says Romanian baked beans in brine will make me a big boy."
Mummy was right. Mm. If he'd eaten that lot, he'd have got so big he'd have blown up.
Well, I can't understand this. There's nothing on my charts about this advertising time being booked.
Yes, well, if you don't need me anymore, I'll be on my way.
Hello.
Yeah, my sentiments exactly.
Well, I mean, I've got a lot of paperwork waiting in my office, so if you'll excuse me...
Pertwee, stay where you are. What do you know about this advertising time taken by the local grocer?
Well, it was a little idea I had, sir, which I thought would be for the good of us all.
Strange, isn't it? We never hear a word about these generous deeds he does for our benefit until somebody rumbles him.
Isn't it all right, eh? Isn't it all right? Isn't it nice?
Hey!
Help me, my son, you've fallen amongst a suspicious lot of old...
Pertwee?
Bath buns.
Pertwee, why did that grocer advertise on TTV?
Well, sir, you see, look, I had noticed that we didn't seem to have no commercials, you see, so I chatted up the grocer and... came to a sort of... arrangement, as you might say.
Go on.
Well, I was hoping to stop there, actually.
What was this sort of arrangement?
Yes, well, you see, what he happened to mention said that he couldn't afford to pay our usual rates for advertising time, so, well, I suggested a sort of barter system, you know, in exchange for his commercial.
Yes.
I got 300 tins of Romanian baked beans in brine. So if any of you gentlemen have a bit of toast, Andy, I'd be only too pleased to let you have a dollop.
Lovely, 300 tins. Pertwee is going to be a big boy.
This is absolutely ridiculous. You can't go around flogging our airtime for tins of Romanian baked beans.
Why not?
Why not?
Yeah.
Advertisers are supposed to come directly to me, and I inform them of the scale of charges depending on the time the commercial is to be transmitted. Now, it's up to you three to put on programs which are so popular that other TV companies network our transmissions all over the country. That way, we may get money to cover our program costs and more advertising to pay your salaries and give TTV a profit.
Flaming complicated, isn't it?
Well, as I see it, sir, our main problem over attracting advertisers is to get our programs networked by the other companies. Up to now, they haven't taken a thing from us, have they?
Not a thing. What we need to attract the other networks is a prestige show.
What's that?
A prestige show. Something nobody fancies, but it's terribly good for everybody, and if we tell them often enough how marvelous it is, they'll take it.
Yes, like health sorts.
Spoken like handsome Dr. Killjoy, ordinary, everyday Harley Street specialist himself, sir. I get the idea, sir. Oh, no. A dollop of any class entertainment and superiorly relaxed mitification for the oint the loint the gore pat on their goggle boxes.
Yeah, well, something like that.
Yeah, well, I know the very thing, sir. Look, all this week, the Troutbridge Hippodrome have got Sultry Cynthia, the volcanic nude.
Oh, is that the one who finishes her act by singing, "Lava, come back to me"?
Yeah, that's the one. Yes. Yes. She's got a sister called Etna. Now, look, on that, look, sir, if we got her to pop over and nip about in front of the cameras, singing a song in her vest, the other networks...
No, thank you.
Pertwee, what we're after is prestige, not reputation.
Couldn't we do a kitchen sink drama by an absolutely furious young man? There's a script of one in our office.
Is there? What's he doing there?
Stopping the filing cabinet from wobbling.
Barely, but I suppose you don't know what it's called.
Oh, yes, yes. Oh, yes, I do. It's called Fly Me a Grubby Gargoyle.
Hey, what's it called?
Fly Me a Grubby Gargoyle. It's by a chap called John Pettibur.
Yes, I remember now. Very strange.
Well, what's it about?
Well, nobody knows, including John Pettibur.
We did ask him, actually, but he called us a couple of old oblongs who need a haircut.
Old oblongs who need... Long-haired old squares, sir.
Well, it wasn't the sort of thing a chap says to another chap when a chap asks another chap about a chap's work. I mean, when a chap is in a chap's office, talking to a chap about a chap's... I've forgotten which chap I got to.
Well, next time, try making the other chap a bloke, sir. Hey, Morel.
And so might this play. It could be just the thing we're looking for.
I suppose it could, sir. And, of course, just to make sure everybody realizes it's a dollop of culture... Let's perform it in Greek.
Yes, yes, with no scenery and no costumes.
If you want it with no costumes, I'm sure that Sultry Cynthia will be only too
pleased. No. Mind you. I don't see why we shouldn't get her to do an audition.
All right. Murray, will you kindly take the Sultry Cynthia fan club out of here and see what you can do about getting us a program the other companies will network.
I tell you this, Fatso, but only in confidence, mind. If anyone was to ask me, not that they will because they never have yet, but if anyone did ask me, I'd tell you this only in confidence, though.
What's that, Taff?
Well, now you ask, I wouldn't like to say.
Oh, well, that's it, the nap right on the head, innit?
Oh, you know me, Fatso. I never mince my words.
No, you scramble them, don't you? Do you think Ace Cameraman Goldstein would mind telling me what the snorting snow deer he's talking about?
Not what I'm talking about. Ooh. And you know ooh, too. Don't you? Ooh. Him.
Pardon?
Him.
Him?
Him.
Oh, him.
Hmm. Him.
Taffy?
What?
Who's him?
Floor manager Pertwee, of course.
Oh, him.
Who else? You mark my chat, Fatso. He's up to something.
I can't remember a time when he wasn't. Did you see that commercial we put out for the local grocer?
What about it?
Well, ever since then, Mr. Pertwee, floor manager and fiddler of this parish, has invited me to 3 Romanian baked bean in brine parties. 6 pence an head and bring your own toast.
Now, how did he fiddle that one, then?
Well, you know what old Pertwee's like. No, we don't, so tell us, you gossiping great gasometer. I was just going to, mate. He's the type who... I wish I was dead. Do you? Well, hang on for a bit before you puff your last. Because Pertwee wants to know what you two frustrated freeze greens were yakking about.
I never said a word. It was Fatso who was spreading malicious gossip about you.
Yeah, that's what I like. That's what I like. An honest friend.
Yeah. Whatever mind about all that now. Look, we've got problems. Look, we've got to get more commercials somehow. And old Thundergats wants us to do a prestige programme, a bit sharpish.
Well, I heard something about us doing Fly Me a Grubby Gargoyle.
Yeah, but on reading it again, Mr. Murray has rejected it. Mm-hmm. Apart from the fact that it was exactly the right size to stop his filing cabinet from wobbling. It was also a heck of a lot ruder than Sultry Cynthia, the volcanic new.
Well, I don't see that matters. I thought we were going to do it all in Greek.
No, we couldn't. Mr. Pettibur had written some words that even the Greeks didn't have one for.
I bet
bet you'd have thought of some though, wouldn't you, eh?
So what breathtaking load of old codswallop are we going to inflict on the viewers now?
I reckon we ought to try something like that very late night show on Saturday nights.
Which one are you talking about?
Oh, I know. You mean the one that says rude words like district nurse out loud?
Yeah.
In the hope the people will ring up and complain.
Yeah, that's the one, yeah.
No, hardly, mate.
Hello, Studio One. Floor manager,
yes.
Rabbitin.
Mr. Murray's secretary.
Oh, some people have all the luck. What's up, love?
Mr. Murray sends his compliments and asks if you'd be good enough to join him and Mr. Phillips in his office immediately.
Are you sure that's what he said?
Well, near enough. Actually, he said, pull him up with the blazes, let me up, Pertwee's got to get him up here a bit sharp.
That's more like it. I'll be up in a tick, or possibly less.
I'm sure this new program will be a great success. I've asked the production team to come in and discuss it with you. As controller of TTV, I'm sure you'll be glad to meet them.
Povey, are they the same lot that put out our opening program?
Yes.
Then I don't want to meet them. My wife tells me I still wake up screaming in the night and calling for mother.
No, I'm certain they've learned by their mistakes, sir.
The ball is at your feet, Povey. And it's up to you to see that your men know that television history is their target. And that they knock it for six. Knock it for six.
That's all very well, sir, but you're the controller of programs, so you really should.
Leave you to get on with it. Perfectly right. Carry on, Povey. Carry on. I shan't interfere at all.
Yeah, very well, sir. I'll just see if the others are outside yet.
Oh, stop it, Chancellor. Somebody wants your thunder gun.
Let him wait.
I'll give room. Hello, who is it?
Oh, Thunder Guts. Now, I was about to ask if the production team were there, but I gather they are. Send them in, please.
It'll be a pleasure, sir.
Come in.
Your secretary said you wanted to see us, sir.
I believe she also wanted one of you to stop it.
Yes, but she didn't mean it. She was just playing hard to get. They all say things like, hey, Lummy, how did you know about that? This office must be fitted up with radar.
Not quite, but kindly remember that Vera is supposed to be working for me. This is my office.
I am very nice too, sir. It's better than the rabbit hutch we... you wanted to see her, sir?
This is the controller of TTV, Mr. Gervais Batsford Shaw.
Oh, how do you do, sir? Oh, pleased to meet you, sir.
When do I get a rise, sir?
Now then, as you three haven't come up with the right idea for the kind of show TTV needs to,
Put it on the map.
Thank you, sir. The controller and I have worked out the whole thing.
Single-handed.
Exactly. And next Thursday, we start the first of a new series to be called Head-On Challenge.
Head-On Challenge? What's that about, sir?
Well, I was just...
Coming to that.
Quite. It's to be, a frank interview with...
No holds barred.
I was going to say with prominent men and public figures, actually.
Then do.
Thanks.
Who is to be the interviewer, sir?
Well, there's only one man for that job, and he's just agreed to do it. Mr. Bernard Yeast.
Bernard Yeast? Oh, I've been wanting to get my hands on him for years.
Sorry, pardon. A very wise choice, sir. None better, I'm sure.
Sir, the chief guest will be the Member of Parliament for Troutbridge West, Sir Jimson Whittaker Smythe, who won the recent by-election by only 8 votes.
Lummy, he nearly bumped up his own party's unemployment figures.
Well, no, before the program, I want you to take our guests to the hospitality room and make them feel at ease. Give them drinks and so.
Eh? Who's paying for them?
The company, of course.
Leave that side to me, son. Leave it to me. I'll attend to it, sir. Everything will be laid on. Pertwee won't leave nothing to chance. His MP-ship will only have to name his wallop. And he'll have it in his hot little end in a jiffy.
Now, let's see. Now, 16 bottles of scotch, 14 bottles of gin, 10 crates of light ale, 4 tins of crisps.
I think perhaps Mr. Murray had better do the ordering. Thank you. Having managed to sell all the advertising time and get the program taken by all the other networks, I don't want you doing in all the profit the same night. Now, remember, gentlemen, this is a prestige program. It's TTV's big chance to become known all over the country. So do the controller and me a favor.
Don't muck it up. Please.
And may I say how delighted we all are at TTV to have you with our studios, Sir Jimson?
Oh, really? Now, just a minute. What have I done with it? I had something with me when I got out of the car. I know I did.
It was me, dear. Hmm?
Oh, yes, yes, the wife. I knew it was either you or a briefcase. Did you say something about a drink?
Yeah, certainly, sir. What are you having, Lady Smythe?
Just a large gin and small orange, thank you, dear.
Large scotch, right?
And what are you having, Mr. Phillips?
Kittens, dear. No.
Having what, dear?
No, this is on me. What are you having?
Don't fight it any longer, Mr. Phillips. I'll get you a neat shandy. Mr. Pertwee will serve us.
Can't be a minute. Mr. Pertwee?
What's that?
What do you want?
Oh, dear.
What's that, eh? You want a drink, sir? Oh, yeah, there's a stack of it back there.
At least there was.
Yeah, shall I tell you something? I think the bottles must have got a leak in them. Do you know, they don't make anything properly these days, do they, sir? Don't make anything properly, they don't.
Pertwee, what on earth have you been doing?
Well, I should have thought that was pretty obvious. I've been checking that all the bottles contained what they said they did. And they did.
Believe me.
I do indeed. Well, I think the best thing you can do is to get up to the control gallery and wait for us up there.
I say, you chaps, they're getting a bit restive, but what's happening?
Hello, Mr. Phyllis.
Don't bother to answer that.
Look, we've got to get him out of here before Sir Jimson spots him and starts asking questions in this house.
Yeah, where's Burnley? Where's Burnley? I want to meet up with Mr. Yeast and take the rise out of him.
No, you don't. Besides, you can't. Mr. Yeast prefers to meet the person he has to interview for the first time in front of the cameras. Now go up to the control room.
Very well. Very well, I shall do that small thing. I'll see you later. You put the red lead in. You pull the black lead out. You bung another one in. And you shake it all about. How you do the okey-dokey. And you turn about. That's what's all about. Oh, you put the blue lead in. You pull the red lead out.
What are you doing?
You pull the book. Hello? Yeah, I've just finished connecting up for transmission to the other network. So, yeah, the control room's all ready for the off. So, what would you like me to do next?
Pass out.
Certainly.
Gracious, he has! Hurry up, get to your seats, everyone. There's only a few seconds to go.
Sorry, I'm a bit late, Mr. Murray.
Where have you been, Janet?
Oh, making sure Mr. Yeast had been called onto the set.
Oh, you've met him. What's he like? Is he really as much of a...
Bigger! 10 seconds before commercial.
Blimey, a big moment, this. Troutbridge Television's first commercial.
Nice nut! What about my Ruritania?
Hit him.
Thank you. Good night.
Made up sound on the monitor screens.
Yes, Jim is a test pilot.
and goes through the sound barrier hundreds of times every day.
Who said Lucky Jim?
Quiet.
A tremendous strain on every vital nerve and tissue. But Jim is smart. Jim starts every day with puddy flakes. The only breakfast cereal that contains the all-round protection of the miracle freshener, the well-known moxamiglythohexatrimacopic. Or, as we say here at the Puddy Flake Garden Factory, good old XLP-40. Thanks to Puddy Flakes, Jim knows as he goes through the sound barrier each time, he is still nice to know. Be like Jim and start eating Puddy Flakes today. It's sound sense to put up a barrier.
Troutbridge Television Service. Troutbridge's favorite television.
Stand by to fade out sound and vision. And call out the shop numbers, Janet, as we get to them.
Now we welcome viewers on other channels with TTV's first presentation of Head On Challenge, in which Bernard Yeast talks to Sir Jimson Whittaker Smythe, Member of Parliament for Troutbridge West.
Fade up sound and vision.
Shot one.
Track in on the pair of them, camera one.
And before we start this interview, may I say, Sir Jimson, how delighted I am that you have come to TTV Studios this evening.
Oh, well,
Not only delighted, but astounded. What? I never thought for a moment that a man in such a ludicrously precarious public position such as you are would have the nerve to face the millions of viewers who are stuck with you until the next election.
Oh, just
and am I right in saying that at the recent election, your so-called majority was a mere 8 votes? Yeah, and that... Let me finish, please. Do you consider yourself justified in continuing to claim, as you did in your speech at an earlier campaign on May the 20th in 1932, that you are a man of the people? How can a man with a majority of 8 be anything more than a man of half the people? An ill-informed half at that.
Yeah, but that...
And is there any truth in the rumour that when the last register was taken, you deliberately imported 8 of your wife's relatives into your house for the night in order that their names should appear on the electoral roll, thus giving you your humiliatingly meagre and ill-gotten majority?
Certainly.
I'm glad to hear that you have the courage.
I haven't.
Don't interrupt me, please, or I shall lose my place on the prompter. Now, by setting aside the recent election results, and in my opinion, that is exactly what should be done with them, we come now to the eviction order that your toady, boot-licking lackey, call him what you will because you hired him. You hired him. The eviction order your estate manager served on your 85-year-old mother at the disgraceful old Nissen hut you had provided for as a permanent home.
What are you talking about? That was her bicycle shed. She lives in a 5-bedroom
house. Ignorance of the facts is no excuse in law, and I, for one, would be the last to suggest that you lack any knowledge on both sides of that subject. Having recently been arrested yourself, you really cannot... Very well, if we're going to split hairs, summoned by the police and been dragged through the courts on a particularly blatant and willful...
All I did was park my car.
If I could just get a word in, please. I'm being as patient as I can, for I realize how much the truth must hurt when it has remained carefully concealed for so many years under a pile of dust-laden verbal clichés at poorly attended political... I was going to say meetings, but addressing half a dozen old-age pensioners sheltering from the cold is hardly a meeting. Or were those 6 ill-clad wrecks of humanity some of your wife's relatives dragged in to rescue you once again with the promise of a few more crumbs from your yet-to-be-paid-for Chippendale table?
That does it. Get your coat off. We'll settle this outside.
Yeah, that's your answer to everything, isn't it? A punch-up.
In your case, it's about time.
What?
If you'd stop having your hair shampooed in a washing machine, it might help. Put your fist up. Come on.
Now, Sir Jimson, I would remind you that I wear glasses. You cannot possibly hit a man with...
Can't I?
Mr. Phillips, stop listening and move your cameras before the fight starts.
What? What? Camera one, track right a bit. Come to you, camera two. Camera two, track to your left a bit. That's it.
On to camera two.
Shot two.
Have you really? Oh. Now, where are we? Lummy, they're rolling their sleeves up. Further to your left, camera two. Coming to you, camera one. Over to your right a bit more. I say, that's odd. Look at the two monitors. Camera one and two have got very nearly the same pictures.
What?
Well, of course they have, you idiot. You've moved them right on top of each other. Move them apart before they...
Coming to you, Camera 3.
Here, who's that? Who dropped a bottle?
Nobody. Two cameras collided.
Oh, well, that's all right, then. Good night.
Come in. Come in, Camera 3. Any advance on 3? Do I hear 4? Give Leslie a picture, somebody. Mr. Pertwee, would you like Janet to get you another cup of black coffee?
Very much so, but she couldn't. I've drunk all there is in the county. It's not done any good at all.
I'm sorry you're not well this morning, Mr. Pertwee. I mean, it's so unexpected. You were so terribly gay last night.
Yeah, did any of the critics mention us in the morning papers?
No, it's a bit much, isn't it? Read them all. Not one of them said a word.
It's most peculiar. I should have thought Mr. Yeast would have made the press. He usually does.
Who did it? Oh! 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 On the edge! On the edge!
Don't you ever do that again, sir, please.
Never mind your confounded head. Haven't you seen the papers?
Yes, sir. Very disappointing. We read all the critics and there wasn't a word about us.
Critics? Critics? You stupid lot of blundering idiots. You didn't make the critics column. You made the front page.
What? What?
Goodness knows how you did it. But somehow you fouled up all the leads in the control room. When the engineer checked them this morning, he reckons somebody must have done the hokey-cokey with them.
Yokey kokey. Suddenly I feel a great deal worse.
Lovett, do you mean all the other networks didn't get a picture after all?
Oh, they got one all right. A beauty.
Well, that's something.
Oh, is it indeed? Thanks to you fools, we are being sued by Equity, the Screenwriters Guild, Associated Rediffusion, TWW, the BBC, Granada, ABC, ATV, the Post Office, and every television dealer in the country.
But we can't be. What did we do?
Do? Instead of head-on challenge, upon which we spent a fortune on hospitality alone, you relayed over the entire ITV network 30 solid minutes of the transmission from the BBC.
Oh, good night.
Well, that was John Pertwee, Leslie Phillips, and Stephen Murray doing an unfortunate to The TV Lark, written by Laurie Wyman. John Pertwee was the floor manager, Leslie Phillips was the director, Stephen Murray was the producer, Henry Povey was played by Richard Caldicott, Fatso Johnson was Ronnie Barker, Taffy Goldstein was Daniel Evans, controller of programs was Michael Bates, Janet was Janet Brown, and the voice of TTV, Robin Boyle. The recorded production was by Alistair Scott Johnston.